Welcome back to Matt Chat, everybody. We are here to discuss a really, really fun episode, and I've got an amazing guest here with me today, Christina from season 49 of Survivor. How are you?
Hey, Tagliff. I'm so excited to be here because this was a good episode. I feel like this is the best one.
This was a good episode. I mean, the internet never agrees. And everyone was like agreeing that this episode was incredible. Mm-hmm. How, like, what were your feelings when you were watching this episode? Because, like, before we went live, you were like, it kind of felt like, you know, almost like old school Survivor. Yeah. How did it feel? Did you just love it?
Like, okay, I know you all know I love a social game. Like, I love a good social. I love a good strategy. And it just felt like kind of that old school, like, we're bringing it back. We're doing all these, like, you're actually making decisions that are going to impact your game. You're, like, thinking through all these things. You have a journey with, like, of the legendary Ceri, who's, like, going through her own stuff and then comes back and changes a whole vote. Like, it was a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
It was literally everything.
It was a little bit of everything. And I think that's what mm-hmm. a good episode is. And I think there was a lot of trepidation going into this episode. Everyone was very nervous about the twist because, yeah. you know, this was a big swing. And we've mm-hmm. seen big swings before fail. You know, the hourglass twist, for example, or the do or die twist, or, mm-hmm. Fire tokens.
Yeah.
And I think that this is one of the first times a twist, like in the last, like maybe 15, 20 seasons mm-hmm. that they took a swing and it paid off. Like,
yeah,
like immediately.
I think especially coming from like the Blood Moon, where again, you know, even as a player, the stuff that comes down to chance, it kind of sucks sometimes because you're like, okay, part of Survivor now is being lucky. And mm-hmm. so you saw that play out with the Blood Moon. And so this time it was really the players taking their game into their own hands. And I think that was what was so refreshing about it.
Yeah. And, you know, let's start off mm-hmm. by talking about this twist and like really digging into it because, you know, this twist has been done on other versions of Survivor. It's called Tied mm-hmm. Destinies in Survivor South Africa. And mm-hmm. there's also a version of this. They do it, I think, every single season on Survivor France. Mm-hmm. But from my understanding, on the other versions, it is mm-hmm. a rock draw of who you end up with is a rock draw.
So
to start off, the way that the US Survivor did it was, I think, better than any. Like, yes, they did not tell them why they were pairing up. But they mm-hmm. did say it was important. And also, previously, people were like, hey, this is what it could mean. And so they yep. had some idea of what it was. So they got to choose their partners. So that was, like, off the bat, the best, like, giving them the mm-hmm. option. And, like, we saw some really interesting duos, like Christian and Jonathan yeah. together.
You're like, okay. But
weird,
that
but great.
That was, but it actually made a lot of sense. Like, that may have been the perfect pairing. They didn't win, but like that would have, to me, that's an ideal pairing.
Yeah.
Where else you have Coach and Chrissy, and I'm like, I wouldn't have done that.
Yep.
Like as a player, I wouldn't have done it.
And I think, you know, it's interesting because typically, you know, you probably want to mm-hmm. be with, like, you know, oh yeah, it makes sense. I want to be paired up with my best friend, or I want to be paired up with somebody that I work with really well. Mm-hmm. But in this twist, it definitely benefits you to be with somebody that you're not working with. Because
yeah.
you, other people were, some people were safe just because of it. So for
yep.
example, like Jonathan and Christian, like they were never talked about. They were because
never.
They're
like, you're going to take out, like, either this group's going to take out their ally, the yep. strongest one, or another group's going to take out probably their smartest one. Like
exactly.
Just
exactly. And you know, yeah. the only three people that we saw were only three groups that we saw were up for contention mm-hmm. were Aubrey and Rick Devins, who yep. are in an alliance together. Chrissy and Coach,
mm-hmm.
who are in an alliance together.
Yep.
And Rizzo and Emily. Rizzo and Emily are not in an alliance together, but they're mm-hmm. also not, you know, they're kind of a weird pairing.
Yeah.
So they're
kind of
makes sense.
Yeah, it's kind of the one that, like, if they go, how does
yeah.
it really mess up our game?
Yeah.
So they
yeah.
could, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Now, how did it feel? Because this was one of the best parts for me, seeing the shots in the dark go into a bag for the people who did not want
yeah.
to pair up. And for the first time in Survivor history, Ceri benefits from a twist. That was incredible.
I love it. I think I saw going around like her first individual immunity.
Yes.
Like, yes, girl. I mean, honestly, it worked out for her. And being someone who I feel like I identify with Serena in a lot of different ways. It's like no secret. She's like one of my favorite players, if not my favorite. And to one, it just worked out in her way. So that mm-hmm. was great. But also like when you are that player that typically would get drawn last for like a schoolyard pick or something, and no one actually wants to pair with you in case it is a physical competition. Like, I think it just worked out so perfectly that she got picked, because I don't know that she wanted to necessarily be in a pair anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I feel like that was the Survivor gods looking down.
For the first time ever, they said, we're so sorry for all of the previous issues. Here we are. We'll give you this one. And I think you're totally right. I think there's also something, you know, kind of exposing about choosing a pair, because, mm-hmm. you know, you have to think about, oh, how is this being perceived by other people? How yeah. is this being perceived by my alliance members? How is this being perceived by my people that I'm not really aligned with, but they think mm-hmm. I'm aligned with them. So it's a lot of moving parts here, and Ceri gets to bypass yeah. it completely. Now, do you agree with this? Because I think that Ceri would have been safe even if she was in a pair, and like no matter who she was mm-hmm. paired with. I think that like with this twist, Ceri would not have gone home. Do you agree with that?
I think it's going to come down to who she's paired with, because if you have, I mean, if you have like Ceri and Ozzy together, that's kind of tempting. Mm. Like, it's tempting because I think everyone knows that Ceri is this legend, but like people are afraid to take a whack at her. And so if you say, but it's Ozzy who he's already won one, and like he's you know, like this is taking out two players that have played five times that are legends, like this could be such a big resume winner. And so I think it kind of depends on who she would have been with, honestly.
I could see that. I just think mm-hmm. that like she's working with so many people at this point, because we see her, and I'm kind of skipping ahead here, but we see her come back after, you know, completing the journey and getting to vote. Everyone is flocking to her like they have never seen
her. Literally, yeah.
it's like they're at a Bryson One event, and it's people who want to meet Ceri, and they're all flocking around.
They're like lining up, and
everyone's lining up to get a picture with Ceri, but it was just them playing Survivor. Like that's what it was. And I think that, you know, even if she was paired up with Ozzy, I do think that mm-hmm. it would be tempting. And I think that, but you think about it, Stephanie says that she's working closely with Ceri.
Yeah,
true. Rick and Christian both say that they're working closely with Ceri. Mm-hmm. I think Tiffany wants to work with Ceri.
Wants to work, yep.
And then, of course, Rizzo is working with Ceri. So I just don't mm-hmm. think that, like, I think you're right. That would be the one pairing where
I feel like that would be the one where I'd be like,
But yeah. I think that she is so, people should be gunning for her at this point, but I just don't think that they're
just not seeing it. I think
maybe they are seeing it, but you know, I just don't think they're thinking about it yet. Cause I was shocked. Like Christian was excited to see her. Ozzy was it? Yeah, like Joe, everyone.
Everybody. I've never seen anything like that.
It's incredible. Never. The power of Ceri.
Yeah. And it's like, everybody knows it though. And it's like you still just get trapped.
Yeah. So. Yes. It's like she's kind of like a Venus flytrap. You know, you know it. She's dangerous. You know, you probably mm-hmm. shouldn't, but you're like, man, I don't know.
But this like
a great landing spot.
Yeah. Like maybe it'll be different. I don't know.
Yeah. 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 It's like going back to your ex. It'll be different this time.
Yeah. It's not.
No, it's not. It's not. And I think the beauty with Ceri here is also mm-hmm. like she is a very, very loyal player. Like mm-hmm. if you work with Ceri, typically you go pretty far in the game.
Yeah.
You know, her and Aris wins. Mm-hmm. Her and Parvati wins.
Parvati wins. Yeah.
Her and Parvati again on Australia versus the World. Parvati wins.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you work with Ceri, it tends to work out well for you.
Yeah.
Hopefully this season it works out well for Ceri though, this time. That's what we want. That's what we want here.
We'll find out soon, right?
We'll find out soon. I know. Isn't that crazy? We're 8 episodes in.
That's really crazy. And we still have a lot of people.
We still have so many people. It's actually crazy. They have, what, 5 episodes now to go through 11 people? Or no. Yeah. 10 now? 11?
Really bad with math if you saw my season.
I'm dead. Christina, oh my God, I'm dead.
So we got something. I know we got to get to like 5.
Yes, right. Okay, I have another question about, I want to talk pivot to Tiffany, because this is who we saw at the beginning of the episode, right? Tiffany got some strays at the tribal council previously, and she was not happy with that. I mean, who would be? Who would be happy with that? And we saw two people go to Tiffany and say, hey, I'm sorry, I put your name down.
Yeah.
And those two people were Ozzy and Joe. Ozzy first did it, like, pretty much it seemed like right away. And I loved that conversation between Tiffany and Ozzy. I think that Ozzy did such a good job. And I made a video about this, but I think that Ozzy is playing a much better game than he's ever played before.
I agree. I think he's been very socially aware of like how he's being perceived by everybody and like just coming and fessing up to things.
Yes.
I do agree with that.
And he has this like humbleness about him where I think that there are other people who wouldn't get away with that conversation. But he's like, hey, you know, coach was dictating everything. I don't know. It just was kind of too late. And I knew you weren't going home. So I just went along with this plan.
Cause so I just went with it,
but I'm going to get him out for you. Like the way he worded it was so, I don't know. It was so good. And I'm really, really happy with him. And I also really liked how, you know, you don't see men a lot admit their shortcomings. Yeah. And Ozzy going, oh, I would have gone for, Aubrey and Rick. Sorry, that's my bad. Thank you for being here. That was like cathartic for me a bit.
Like they can apologize. But also, I mean, Tiffany is smart. And she, like, she knows this is Survivor. And like, people are going to lie. People are going to write your name down. Like, that's just kind of part of how it is. And so I think that you do respect people who come up and just fess and say like, hey, my bad. And I think you respect that so much more going forward, because it feels like you can, in a weird way, trust them going forward. It's very twisted, and you know, Survivor, it is twisted, but like, it does feel like, okay, I can trust them a little bit. Like at least they were able to, you know, come clean.
And I'm really, I'm really interested to see like if they continue to work together, because he did in fact vote for Coach and get Coach's head on a spiker. So it's like he said he was going to do this thing and he did do this thing. Yeah. And so I think that's really fascinating. And I think that like relationship is going to be interesting moving forward. I think Tiffany is in a really interesting spot here. And I am so happy that Tiffany and Joe won that immunity. Because
oh my gosh, from the end, like they didn't look like they had a chance.
No.
A little bit. And they
I'm so happy, because I could see a world where they are the duo that goes home here, mainly because I don't think that Joe is so ingrained with the honor and integrity.
Yeah.
And also Tiffany doesn't really have major connections anymore. Her main alliances have been blindsided. And she's working with people and she's working well with people, but the people that she's working with have stronger connection elsewhere. I still think it probably would have been Coach and Chrissy, but I just, I could have seen a world where people could be like, hey, Tiffany's by herself.
Yeah.
And if we have to vote out Joe, we have to vote out Joe.
He's kind of become like expendable.
Happy that they won. And I'm not saying that would have happened, but like Tiffany,
their names would have been out there.
Yeah. I think their names would have been out there. Tiffany was my preseason winner pick. And I want her. I want the world for that woman. I love her so much. I think she's so good at Survivor. I think she's so smart. And the way that she, her restraint, you know, and you see it time and time again is amazing.
I would have gone crazy.
Yeah.
It is hard to have like people betray you, quote unquote, like at Tribal. And then you come back immediately. And like, I don't know if you all know this or not, but like you have Tribal and then you are basically like not allowed to talk until the camera comes on again when you're at camp. And so you've also had time to like brew and stew.
Yeah, stewing it.
You've been just stewing in it. So by the time you can talk, like the first instinct is to be like, what? You know, like kind of go crazy. And so her restraint is like, I mean, that is a social game.
Yeah. And we've seen it two times in a row because we saw it with Camilla and we saw it with Dee. This poor woman is going through it and she's not allowed to share any of her actual feelings.
She has to be like, it's okay. I respect that you're telling me, you know, like, no.
Yeah, no. It's crazy. And so I will also say we see it again. Mm-hmm. You know what? We said we saw the conversation with Ozzy, but we see it again when Joe and Tiffany go to their reward and goes, hey, I was one of the ones that voted for you. I do think that conversation did not go as well as the, like, I kind of see on Tiffany's face when Ozzy said it. She didn't seem like there was any underlying like annoyance or anything.
Yeah.
But Joe, I think there was almost like this like knee jerk reaction of, I knew it. And I'm funny, but like
thanks. I think I don't know, I'm speculating, but like also Ozzy is aligned with people she wants to work with. True. Whereas Joe is not. So you could probably see a little bit of that too, where it's like, okay, with Ozzy, I really need to I need to be good. Like, this is okay because I need him to go back and tell, you know, his people, Sari, especially like, hey, Tiffany, she's with us. We got, you know, whereas with Joe, like, I don't think she really cares to work.
I think that's a great read on that. I think you're totally right. And I don't know that she necessarily wants to work with Joe that closely. I think that Joe's an interesting person because I think Joe, and I said this, I did a recap with Phil on this podcast immediately after the episode. And I said that I think that Joe can kind of be an immovable force in an alliance. And we saw it a little bit on 48 where, you know, if he wants something, he's not going to be happy if somebody else has another idea. And, you know, I just picture him kind of sitting in the hammock or sitting down and just being like, no.
Christian rocking him.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I don't know that Tiffany works well with that personality. And I'm not saying that's how Joe is all the time, but I think that Tiffany, like you think about her biggest ally, Kenzie, they worked hand in hand. They talked about ideas.
Yeah.
And then when Q and Tiffany butted heads, you know, that was not, she did not like that.
Right? Yeah.
And then you see this season, Tiffany's working well with Dee and Camilla and, you know, people who bounce ideas off of each other and have this like open communication where I just don't think Joe has that same kind of playing where I think Ozzy does.
Ozzy does. Yeah. And I think, and this is not saying anything that this is actually Joe's personality or anything that, but like, I think there's also something when you have the strong physical man type stereotype and they're telling you what to do. I think that is just so different. It's received so differently than if you do have Christian or Ozzy or like, I mean, Ozzy can go either way, but like, I feel like he doesn't, the 6 foot like strong, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's maybe it's just like your subconscious or something, but it's just something so different from like Joe telling you what to do than like an Ozzy or Christian telling you what to do.
I think that is such a good observation also, because I think in a game like Survivor, you have to be so, like, the people who do well in Survivor, in my opinion, are people who are very aware of who they are and what they bring to the table. Rizzo, for example. Every single conversation that somebody has about Rizzo is, I don't like him. He rubs me the wrong way. And then 5 seconds later, I really like him.
He's actually not that horrible.
He's actually good. Like, he's kind of a good vibe. And so I think that is Rizzo being self-aware. I think so. Rizzo's like, hey, people are not going to take me seriously. I'm the youngest one here. I'm the only one who is in their 20s and, you know, all of this stuff. I gotta, you know, figure out a way to
engage myself.
And he does. And he figures out that way. And I think, you know, there was a Tommy. I don't know if you watched season 39 of Survivor, but Tommy Sheehan is I think 6'2", like maybe even taller, like big muscly guy. And he made a point that he always tried to make himself smaller. And he didn't win any individual immunity challenges. He just relied on the social game. And I think that that is also somebody who is socially, who is aware of themselves.
Aware. Yeah. This is not Survivor at all, but Like, I always think of Big Brother with Derek V, who, like, he's like, I'm gonna grow my mustache out. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just gonna be so less assuming. And I think it's exactly what you're saying, like, being very self-aware of how you're coming off, and then what can you do to, like, lower that threat level?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that you're right. I think if you have a big presence, literally, physically, like, have a big presence.
Yeah.
You cannot also be a big presence strategically unless mm-hmm. you're with somebody that you're really close with.
Yeah.
You have to, I don't think you can be both. I think that there aren't that many people in Survivor's history that have been able to be both. Yeah. Because you, if you take up a lot of space physically, I think you mm-hmm. have to find ways to lower your social threat level.
Yeah.
By working on the same, literally on the same level with people.
On the same thing. Yeah.
A great,
you almost have to be like Suri, where you implant, like, you're incepting ideas into people, and then you have to make them think it's their idea.
Yeah.
You kind of have to.
Yeah. I think that's a really, really good observation. And I'm excited to see where Joe goes moving forward, because I think
me too.
I don't really think he was so in on that alliance as, like, other people were. Do you agree, or what was your view on him on that alliance?
I mean, he was definitely the bottom of it, and I think maybe he felt that. But, like, I just also don't know that he would have turned on them so easily. So I'm very interested to see what he does, because he could go the Tiffany route now, or he could stick with them. Like, I don't really know what he's going to do.
Yeah. Did you hear the story about Tribal Council?
What about, like, how long it went? Or no?
So there was a story, or the story that came out in Exit Press is that at Tribal Council, Joe only wrote down Chrissy's name.
Oh, yes. I did hear. Yes.
And they were like, you have to go back. Yeah. You have to write down both names. Both of them. Because he was like, I'm not writing Coach's name down. He drew a line in the sand, and he did not want to write down Coach's name, even though he knew that voting for Chrissy meant Coach going home. But yeah. I think he does take his loyalties very seriously.
Yeah.
If he feels like you're working with you, he will.
And, like, I have your back.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's a really good alliance member to have, but that also just shows, and stubborn isn't the right word, but he's stubborn to a fault, where he's like, I refuse to even mm-hmm. do this. So it's like, he's like an interesting.
It's interesting. I feel like I was loyal to a fault. And that's kind of one of the things I almost regret a lot. Like, you know, like, is that. And so it's interesting with him playing again. And him kind of seeing, like, that was, I don't say his downfall, but, like, you know, it didn't,
yeah.
You know, like, that's kind of what he was known for. I'm actually shocked he didn't switch it up a little bit so far.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what happens moving forward. I could see Joe going to the end.
Oh, yeah.
I could see him sitting in that. I could see him being the only person to never get his torch, like, to go to the end twice.
To go with nothing, yeah.
And not get his torch snuffed, and him be the only one this season to, like, still not have his torch snuffed. I could totally see that happening.
I have about 3 or 4 that I could see going to the end, and he's one of them.
Yeah. I think that he just, but I just don't think he'll get the votes. I mean, I think that if he's at the end, maybe Chrissy and, I mean, I think Coach would probably vote for him.
Yeah.
I think he would get, like, 1 or 2 votes, but I think it'll be very similar to, 48, where he gets 48. You know, 1 or 2.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Now. Okay. Who should we talk about? Let's talk about Coach and Chrissy here. Well, you know what? Let's talk about Coach. Because this is still about...
I'm sorry. Everything with Coach this episode was pure comedy.
I love Coach as a character. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I'd want to be on the same island as him.
Yeah.
But I do love watching him.
I do too. I mean, him, like, in the hammock, just like... I don't know.
Singing to himself.
It was something with Chrissy saying, like, basically sit down and shut up. You're done.
Yep.
And
yep.
He's
you're
just
done.
Over there, like,
I just love that he's living in this world where he literally cannot help himself
like
making haikus. I think that's so funny. I think that's so iconic. A lot of people are like, I can't even deal with that, and, like, I don't even like to watch it. Mm-hmm. It's gotten to the point. So, and I'm not saying that Coach is this, but one of my favorite movies ever is a movie called Troll 2. Troll 2 has no relation to Troll 1.
Oh, okay.
It is literally about goblins. It's not even about trolls. It is the worst movie you've ever seen in your whole
life. Okay.
It is terrible. It's like horrible. Low budget, like whatever. It's a horror film, but definitely not scary. Yeah. And I feel like this is so mean, but he's edited in a specific way. He's not, I've met him in real life. I do like him in real life. I like Coach a lot in real life. We get along well. On that TV screen, it's like I'm watching Troll 2. It's like I'm watching the like worst horror movie, but I just can't stop smiling. It's like, what are you doing? But I'm just like laughing and giggling and like having the best time.
I know.
He's
shout
wild.
Out to the editor.
Shout out to the editors. Like, I wish I was like somebody who could not stop writing haikus. Just like I literally like bursting at the seams. Another one.
He's just like, I think I see something in the comment. It was like the look of satisfaction on his face.
It's so good.
And it's so great. And it's especially when he's doing it in the hammock. Like it looks like he's in timeout and doing it. It was great.
So good. It's so good. Now, okay. Yeah. I do think that Coach is an interesting player because I think Coach said he wanted to come in and play a different way. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he did. Ozzy came in and said he wanted to play a different way. Ozzy, I do believe, is playing a different way.
Yeah.
But Coach just, I think, kind of ended up in the same kind of alliance and trying to do the same thing. And we see in a conversation with Tiffany where he's like, sorry, you were the backup. And Tiffany knows that Coach was the one who was pushing his name, her name. And she goes, okay, but who was the one? And Coach just does not have a response.
He glitches. I heard someone say that and I loved it.
It was glitches. Do you think that conversation should have even happened? Do you think he should have just been like completely upfront with her? Do you think that could have saved him? Or do you think that the writing was on the wall? He was going home.
I think the writing was on the wall, at least in Tiffany's book with him, right? Like other people, he probably could have swayed, but like with her, I think it was done. And especially since he did a half truth, right? Like, oh, like I kind of had to write your name, but like, oh, but I'm also the one that was behind it. You know, like if you're going to give it, just go ahead and give the full truth. Especially like, you know, she has a BS meter.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like you should know that about her.
Yeah, I totally agree. I also think that like the other two conversations that we saw, they told the whole truth.
They just told it.
And I think that she respects that. I do think that it would be a lose-lose for Coach. Like if he lies, it's bad. If he tells the truth, it's bad. Because I think you're on opposite sides here. So why are you, I mean, I know you kind of have to figure out how to, you know, manage the jury.
To manage it.
That's what he was doing. He was jury managing.
But to me, the less evil to me would just be to tell the whole truth in that situation. Because like, let's say Tiffany is, you know, on the jury and Coach is one of the final three. Like, it's going to come out anyway. Like, you know, as soon as people come back to Ponderosa, they're telling, you know, they're filling in all the gaps for you. So it's better to just go ahead and tell the full truth if you're trying to get jury votes.
100%. Now I'm wondering with this episode, we haven't talked about the big move, the fake idol play.
Oh gosh.
How do you feel like, number one, do you feel like this was necessary?
It is. Okay. It's so hard, right? With the edit. And if I'm just being honest, to know was Aubrey and Devins, were they really in the hot seat going in? Did this long tribal that people were talking about, like this live tribal, did that actually switch a vote at all? And so it's hard. Like, I think if they really were in the hot seat, then I think it was like a good, you might as well go ahead and pull it.
Yeah.
Because then people are afraid, like, okay, well, wait a minute. So if they are safe, and then, you know, Coach and Chrissy, if someone plays a shot in the dark and it works, then like, who's going to be next? So you kind of go with like a sure thing rather than, you know, than something you don't know. So like, it works if they really were the ones on the chopping block.
Yeah. I agree. And I think, you know, in that situation, when you hear your name and there are only six options here, mm-hmm. you might want to just ensure that you're not going home. Right.
Yeah. You sometimes you just got to live through the night. Sometimes you just got to survive one night.
And I think, you know what? I think that there were people who they had voting with them that were maybe questionable. Yeah. I think that, you know, like do they think that they can trust Rizzo? Do they think that they can trust like Tiffany Foley, like people that they mm-hmm. haven't really worked with before? I think one of the best things about this twist here is the duos aren't voting together. Everyone has their own individual vote, which I think was incredible. So we're dealing with 13 votes here. And, you know, if you just want to ensure that you're making it to the next day, I think that that is good. And I think mm-hmm. that is important, but I do think that this is going to be put a big target on him.
Oh, for sure. For sure. The real winner of that whole thing was Aubrey.
Yes.
Like she wins in that.
She totally wins in that. And I think, mm-hmm. You know, I will say, you know, Rick coming up with this lot, like saying, telling Stephanie, hey, I'm not going to show you this. Like, knowledge is power. Great line. And I also think the lie to Aubrey saying I had to sneak it out of tribal council, I can't play it today, was also a great lie to protect himself. So I think he had the right moves here. It's mm-hmm. just, is he going to be able to stay under the radar when he very much went above that radar?
I think he literally went to enemy number one after that. Like, I loved it that, like, in the moment as a viewer, I was like, this is amazing. But then looking back, I'm like, that next episode, I'm nervous for him.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. Well, I know that there's more that we can talk about this episode, but let's talk a little bit about what's to expect in the next episode. So I'm gonna say the summary that CBS released last week, Christina. Last week, the summary was so obvious. It was like something big happens at Tribal Council, and me and Franny are like, yeah, so the idol is the fake idol's coming out, right? Like,
yeah, we're like, so you know that's obvious. Happening.
What? Ridiculous. Okay. So the summary is, after losing two alliance members, castaways spend the next day picking up the pieces of their broken alliance. The castaways face off against a surprise challenger during this week's individual immunity competition. Then, upon their return to camp, the journey participant must read aloud an important announcement regarding their recent adventure. Mm. Now, this one is cryptic. This one, I have no idea what this means.
Minus the commercials. I don't know what that last part is.
Me neither.
I feel like I can guess the rest.
Yeah, I would say the castaway who's the participant is Jeff.
Seems like it's going to be him.
Seems like Jeffrey Probst is coming in.
Spinner in the game.
What do you think about this?
Everyone knows that familiar feeling when you just can't answer that one simple question. What's for dinner? Well, thanks to Omaha Steaks, I find myself in that situation way less frequently. Dinner is handled in minutes when I keep my freezer stocked with restaurant-quality protein from Omaha Steaks. And it's not just tender steaks. We're talking flavorful burgers, chicken, seafood, sides, and even desserts, all delivered directly to my door. So whether it's a rushed weeknight evening or a Saturday night cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. And let me fill you in on a little secret I've been using the past few years. Omaha Steaks proteins aren't just great to have in your own fridge, they also make fantastic gifts. When my dad's birthday comes around, I'll gift him one of the many options of steak packs, and it's an instant win-win. One year I got him the complete cookout collection, which is perfect because he enjoys grilling up everyone a great meal, and I make sure I'm there to celebrate with him, so I get a fantastic steak dinner myself. Win-win. Feel free to use that one. And I want to clarify something for any skeptics out there. Yes, frozen delivery can be this good. Omaha Steaks is known for their meticulous aging process and vacuum-sealed individual packaging. Shipped nationwide and arrives frozen, ready for grilling, searing, and roasting with minimal effort and time. No last-minute runs to the store. They can't match the quality Omaha spent generations perfecting. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of meat. We got filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers, each with their own different flavor and style. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99, plus get $35 off with promo code BEEF. This isn't some rinky-dinky discount. That's $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
In Backtrack by Mark Cameron, the past is prologue for a violent criminal with three names, Ricky Lee Pink. Pink has been rotting in jail for years, plotting revenge against the man who thwarted his almost perfect theft of $5 million in diamonds. That man, Wayne Cutter, is deceased, but his grandson, Arliss, is very much alive, for now. Pink and Cutter are about to collide in a violent confrontation on a floating city in the middle of the water, a massive cruise ship traveling around Alaska's Inside Passage. An experienced U.S. Marshal, Arliss must move fast but cautiously, or he may be the last of the Cutter family tree. As Survivor fans, it's not just the strategy and social dynamics that keep us enthralled. It's also the idea of man versus wild. This concept is at the heart of all Mark Cameron's novels, and it's especially prevalent in Backtrack. It's one of the main reasons I enjoyed this book, and as listeners of The Specialists, I know you will too. If you're an outdoor enthusiast, fan of wilderness thrillers by authors C.J. Box and William Kent Kruger, or just love a fast-paced action thriller from the likes of Brad Thor or Jack Carr, make sure to pick up your copy of Backtrack today. An Alaskan resident and Texas native with nearly 30 years in law enforcement, Cameron is a master of action and gritty detail. He brings explosive authenticity to Backtrack as U.S. Marshal Arliss Cutter's manhunt will employ all his skills and knowledge as a member of the U.S. Marshal Service. Backtrack by Mark Cameron is available now wherever books are sold.
What are your thoughts on Jeff's participating?
No?
I don't love it. I think it'll be fun. But again, I do like when the show is about the players. And so I just want to know, like, why this is technically in there. But, you know, it'll be fun. He can show off his guns.
Yeah.
I think it's something different. It's 50. They're trying out new things. So I think it'll be cool.
Do we know why he's doing it yet? Is it just for fun? Or like, I haven't seen in some of the previews. I don't think I've seen why they're doing it.
I haven't seen either. I don't know if it's. I don't even know if it's a reward or if it's the actual challenge, but yeah.
My thought is, I actually have a video queued up that I'll post after this, what I think is going to happen. And this is what I thought on Thursday. Like, I filmed this video on Thursday. I think Jeff Probst, when he went on to Jimmy Fallon before the season, Jimmy asked Jeff if he would ever play Survivor. Jimmy really, really wants Jeff to play Survivor. And Jeff goes, no, I'm not going to play Survivor. And then I think Jimmy asked something like, would you ever compete in a challenge? And I think Jeff goes like, oh, I don't know, maybe, blah, 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 blah. And so because there was an interview on Jimmy Fallon, what if the twist here is that we know Jimmy Fallon's coming into play at some point.
Yeah.
What if this is the Jimmy Fallon twist?
Ooh.
And if Jeff outlasts like five people, something happens or something like that, but it's the Jimmy Fallon, like, because we heard Christian say Jimmy Fallon holds my fate in this game. Maybe,
yeah,
like Christian is the one to go on the journey. It's the Jimmy Fallon thing. And he's the only one that knows that if Jeff outlasts five players, Christian keeps his vote. If Jeff does not outlast five players, Christian loses his vote or something like that.
Oh, I like that. I like that. So the journey in this case could involve Jimmy Fallon. Let's let it bring a car in there too.
Let's bring back the car
and let's see if the curse is still there.
Do you think that would be, I mean, this is a complete guess and it's just that conversation. They know, I mean, Jimmy Fallon and Jeff know what happened. This was filmed a year ago, right? I don't know if Jimmy knows what happened, but Jimmy knows that he has a twist and he loves the show. I don't know.
Maybe that's an Easter egg.
That's what I'm thinking. Okay. That's what I'm thinking.
I like that a lot. I do.
Could be interesting.
Do we think Jeff's going to outlast anyone?
I don't know. It looked like his rope was really... I hope he practiced. Like, he has access to this stuff. Like, I hope he practiced or something.
Okay, I actually hate this challenge, by the way. Just gonna throw that out there. Yeah, I'm happy we didn't have to do it. So I'll be interested to see how it goes down.
I think this is gonna be interesting. I think it's gonna be kind of fun to see Jeff play. I don't think it's necessary, but I do think it's kind of silly. If there's ever a season for this to happen, it's season 50.
It's season 50. Yeah, I think someone put Jeff. You gotta dig deep. That would be hilarious if the people that are out, if they start like trash talking it.
They talk. literally, they start. Being Jeff to Jeff.
Being Jeff to Jeff. Now that would be fun. That would be a cool little like thing.
I think that you're totally, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting. So other things that we see in the synopsis, after losing two alliance members, castaways spend the next day picking up the pieces of the broken alliance. Very clearly, this is talking
about. That's clearly, Stephanie, Joe, Jonathan.
Yep. And we did see a preview with Jonathan talking to Aubrey. Mm-hmm. And we saw a confessional where Aubrey is like, I'm not scared about voting out my own alliance. I'm not scared about doing all of this. I'm happy as long as it gets me to the end, you know. I think that it would be interesting to see Jonathan and Aubrey actually work together. I don't know if it's actually going to happen. Yeah. Do you think that, you know, alliance or maybe voting block or whatever would have legs?
Mm-hmm. So here's the thing with Coach and Chrissy, with them being gone, it almost takes the heat off of that alliance. If you think about it. Because they're kind of like they said, like Cerise said, like the parents are gone, the kids don't really know what to do, and they kind of become out of the hot seat now, and people are picking them up as extra votes. So they're actually sitting pretty good if they play it right. And so I do think, I think Aubrey is smart. If we look at that clip, she's like, okay, well, Devin's is clear target on him now. Mm-hmm. And like, there's these three people that are kind of up for the taking, and I'm going to go ahead and get in with one of them. I like it. Yeah. I like the move. I think it's smart for both of them to work together. Actually,
I think you're totally right. And I think that it would be, you know, we've actually seen this happen with Stephanie multiple times. Yeah. Stephanie's alliance members just either keep getting voted off or getting medevaced or whatever else. And all of a sudden Stephanie's a number and she's fine.
And her name doesn't even come up.
Exactly. It's fascinating. I think that I think you're totally right. I totally think that's going to happen. And I think that now this is why Survivor is interesting. One of the many reasons.
Yeah.
But people realize that, hey, if I am not at the very top of this alliance, then I'm not going to win this game if I go to the end with these people.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have to figure out a way to get to the top or be there by myself with nobody I'm aligned with.
With nobody. Because then they're all in the jury and they can all vote for you.
Exactly. So I think that there is definitely some legs to this. And then we saw another preview. What was the other preview? I can't remember. Oh, with Ozzy. Ozzy talking about, I forget because I was so focused on Aubrey talking game with Jonathan.
Was he talking to Joe? No, who was he talking to?
I can't remember. Let me pull it up.
Okay.
I think that, I was so clearly so focused on Aubrey and Jonathan having a conversation. I was like, what is going on here?
I think both of them are in a good position, especially if they work together. I just think they are.
Agreed.
So I think Ozzy's in a great spot.
Okay. So I've got it. It's Serene, Joe, and Ozzy. That was a bad.
It was like right in your face. Like, there's Serene.
Sorry, Serene. It's Ceri, Joe, and Ozzy talking about how Rick Devens has a target. Yes. And Ceri has a confessional where she goes, anybody who has a bigger target on their back for me than me is good. I think, here's the thing though. I think this is all smoke and mirrors because if they think that he has a real idol, which, you know, jury's out on whether or not people think it's a real idol.
I think it's been half for half listening to Exit Press. It kind of sounds like there may have been some people at Tribal like, this is not real, guys.
That is true. I will also say, sometimes I don't know that some Exit Press, I'm like, is that really what happened a year ago? Are we sure? No, but I think they both said it. So I think there is some speculation on whether or not it's real. I just think that it's too obvious. Like, Rick makes this big, you know, play and then you get him out immediately. Like that seems like a very weird.
But then where else would they go? What else?
Christian? I could see Christian going home. I could see, like, I could see it backfiring on any of his, like, close allies. Like,
any of his allies, yeah.
Emily. I could see Emily. I could see Christian. I could see Aubrey. Just, like, you know, I think that Suri is a good point. He has a big target on his back. If you keep him, that target is going to stay there. It's not going to go away. People aren't going to forget.
Mm-mm.
Right?
Not at all. But then, again, we also have this journey. So what?
Yeah, so what is the journey?
Does that wrinkle, you know, like, is that wrinkle something?
We didn't really talk about Suri's journey from episode eight. How did you feel about that that portion of the episode?
I loved it. I did, because we got to see that no matter how many times you've played Survivor, this is like our fifth time, that there's still something that you can grow. Like, there's mm-hmm. still something you can learn about yourself. There's still, like, a way that you can push yourself. And so you see this legend who, like, is already safe. But we're like, she's like, oh, but I also don't want to be out here by myself all night. Like, yeah. I also want to go see what's happening at Tribal. And so having to go through, like, all of those and then find it. And then even her even taking a break, like, that just touched me. I was, like, crying with her. and so, like, I loved it. I think we got to see, I will never be mad with Suri content. I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm never going to be mad. So I hope. I read this somewhere too. I was like, I would love if there was something hidden in that.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be awesome. Fun. That'd be really, really cool.
She could lie and say there was.
She could lie. She could lie. I think that this was a really fun journey. And I talked about this a bit. I think a lot of journeys will fall flat because of the forced losing your vote. Like, even we saw at the very beginning of the season where Colby and Savannah, you know, play against each other. And it's like, one person loses their vote, the other person gets whatever else. Like, I don't love that. And, you know, we've talked, like, you know, on season, what was it, 40, on 48, where people just lost their vote to the roll of the die. Like, that just is never good.
No one likes that.
No one likes that. But this journey is interesting, or at least her, you know, her journey to Exile Island, which kind of felt more like a journey than Exile. On Exile, what we knew the rules going in. When you're on Exile Island, if you don't go to Tribal Council, you're safe. If you don't go to Tribal Council, you vote because you're not physically there. So there's nothing for her to lose, only gain. And that's what I like. I like when there's only a gain.
When there's only a gain. Also, side note, she also could have had the choice to just get some sleep.
Yeah.
and she chose to still go back and impact the game. And I appreciate that because Tribal is late. It is very, very late, and it is a long, it's a lot. And so she could have also just said, you know what, I'm just going to stay out here and I'm going to get some sleep. And then I have an advantage because I've had some rest. Yeah. So just like funny that, but it's good. So she still did that and came back because she changed a whole vote.
She did. She did. Daryl's
whole vote.
Daryl Seymour said when Suri got back, people were like, thank goodness mother is here. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hallelujah too. Because I was like, are we really just gonna, we're just gonna take Aubrey and Devin's out? Like, this is just what we're gonna do. And you had Ozzy so confident saying, like, this is what Suri would want. and then she comes back. And she's like,
good.
What? And he's like, wait, I didn't think about that. Like, oh, yeah, you're so right.
She has this way about her. I love her so much. I just love that she is, I mean, it's like, It's this thing where she has this like aura of confidence, but it's not intimidating. I don't
know
when she says that something's wrong, it doesn't seem like, oh, I did something wrong. It's like, oh, let me learn.
Like, oh my gosh, I didn't think. Yeah, like Ozzy really was like, oh yes.
Yeah.
You're so right. Okay. And then and then you just see this ripple effect of everyone saying, like, oh, but maybe I think it's supposed to be Chrissy and Coach. Like, it was,
I think that Suri has a path to the end to win?
Okay, here's the thing with Suri is that I think she always can get a path to, like, you know, late part of the game, and then people really see her as a threat after that. And so it's like, how do you get past that road bump? And I think that's that if she can get past the road bump, like, she wins, you know? And so that'll be interesting to see if she can get past that.
I've said this on other podcasts, so people probably have heard this from me before. But I think that the fact that the fan vote is uncertain, I think benefits her more than anybody else. Because I think the fact that the final four fire making is not a given.
A given, yep.
I think is really beneficial to her because she could say to people, hey, just keep me, like, you can just vote me out. Like, just vote me out. It'll probably be a vote. Just vote me out. She could also probably say, hey, have you ever seen me win a fire making? No. So just keep me in and just beat me at fire making. But I really hope that she finds a way to the end. Because like that would be such a wonderful ending, Ceree Fields.
I'd be like Survivor, and then 50. Like what? I don't. That would be.
Amazing. I would cry. I would be unconsolable. I would be like, no one can speak to me for a week and a half. I need to go. Like, I'm unwell. I need to go sit on a beach somewhere and like look out onto the sunset and just cry happy tears. Mm-hmm. Like, I will also be unconsolable if she gets voted out too. So like, there's no way that,
either way we're crying.
Yeah. Either way I'm crying. Exactly. Either way I'm crying. I feel like this episode is going to reveal, this coming episode is going to reveal a lot. And I think it's the first time where I'm really unsure like what was going to happen. Like last week I saw that the groupings, there's no way it's anybody but like Coach or Chrissy.
You have to take them, right?
In my head, I was like, it's gotta be these two. I don't know.
It depends on who gets picked up. I think this next episode, we're going to see a lot of shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we've kind of had these like three buckets, right? We've had like this Honor Alliance, mm-hmm. we've had the Nerd Alliance, and then we've had the, what are they call it? The Rizzery God of Oz or something.
Oh, see, I call them the Thruffle. I call them the Thruffle.
And so like, I think you've had those three very distinguishable like buckets. And I think this is the episode where it's going to be kind of gray and we're going to have to see who comes out on top.
Yeah, I agree.
So, mm-hmm.
I think it's gonna be.
I think you're also gonna see the nerds in that the throuple. I think you're gonna maybe see them going at each other now.
I think you're right. I think this is when in Survivor the alliances start to break down a bit.
Yep.
And I think that because you're so close to the end. Mm-hmm. We're at we've got 11 people still in the game.
Yep.
So it's when you're like, hey. I only need to get out 8 to get there at the
end.
And
there's still enough people to hide behind that you can get your closest ally out without it being exposed.
Yep.
So you're still doing jury management. So it's like that perfect time where you can really kind of start going at some people you may even be working with.
Yeah. Who are you most worried for going into this episode?
Devins,
yeah.
100%. He, and you also had Rizzo kind of call him out. Like he was doing it as a shout out, but it was like, hey, 6th time, how do you keep doing it? And I think even that, like people probably don't know how many idols he's found in the past. And so even Rizzo saying that, it's like, oh, I'm nervous for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. Here's the thing. The funny thing is I could really see almost anybody going out here at this vote. Like,
really? Okay.
I really think that there is so
much. You can
make
a case for everybody.
Pretty much. I would say really the only people that I don't really see going out here are the three who just got blindsided. They weren't really blindsided, but the three who did not go their way.
Yeah.
Because I just don't see any reason. They've been essentially put out a commission. Mm-hmm. They're looking to stay in the game. Is there any threat there? Probably not. I think that makes sense for them to be safe, but everybody else, I could see a lot of people going, but I think you're right. I think he has the most obvious target. And if he's probably the person I'm most worried for.
Yeah. I think Joe is, I don't know, certainties, but I think he's all but safe, to be honest.
I agree with that. Now, we had this question that was sent earlier in the podcast from Aaron. Aaron said, were they voted off because of Coach, or was it because Chrissy mentioned voting off Rizzo and Rizzo's wife, Ceree, caught wind of it? I think they were voted off because it's the duo. Because it's so, if Coach was with somebody else, I think the Coach probably would have been safe. If Chrissy was with somebody else, I think Chrissy probably would have been safe. But the combination of the two of them, dangerous, dangerous, dangerous.
I agree. Because a part of you, Coach is like, how many votes does Coach get at the end? I honestly don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But a part of me is like, sometimes you just keep that person in.
Yeah.
And so he could have honestly been safe. And so if you had to pick one out of the two, it could have even honestly been Chrissy. They could have seen her as like the person who was calling the shots, and she was going to be headed out.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. Mm-hmm. I really think that this was a deadly combo. Even think that like if Chrissy, like if they were with people in their alliance, like if it were Coach and Jonathan, I probably think
like maybe,
you know, they're, it's just because, you know, we hear Ceri call them the mom and the dad.
Mm-hmm.
And if the two heads of an alliance are together, yeah, you're gonna, you take that shot immediately.
You take the shot. This is why in some of the challenges, you actually get to do like a schoolyard pick and you get to pick, you know, and a lot of times the viewers don't get to see that part, but we had like two or three of those challenges on our season. And the first person I would always pick, or at least first or second, would always be someone that I was not working with. Mm-hmm. Like you almost want your most trusted person never to be with you. And so for them to be together, it's like, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you almost always want even your most trusted person to be on the opposite end, like almost all the time. So you guys are both getting info.
Yep. I totally agree. I think that, and I wonder if like nobody wanted to pair with them. Like, I wonder if they ended up together because it just was like, or I wonder, like, I can't remember in what order people paired off. Like, I think Jonathan went after Christian and Christian was like, well, I'm not going to say no to that.
Heck yeah.
I think that Aubrey and, Rick just kind of fell into, fell into each other. But it seemed
like Rizzo and Emily, it kind of seemed like they were just left together.
That's true.
So that could have been, it could have been Rizzo with the guy who changed his life.
That's true.
And Emily with Chrissy. Like that, I mean.
That is very true.
That honestly might have even been better for them.
I think it would have. I definitely think it would have. I think it's the deadly combo being together right there.
Yeah.
We have another question that was sent earlier in the podcast as well from Ocon Peace. Quick question for Christina. In your season, were you the only one tending to the fire?
Towards the end, it was just me and Steven. Like, it was, you know, Matt at the beginning. And then by the end, it was me and Steven.
Yeah, and
Actually, I won't throw him under the bus like that. Never mind. It was someone who definitely didn't.
Well, you know, we're hearing a lot that Rizzo doesn't do a lot around camp. And he just is, like, fine with that. Do you think there's, like, this new era thing where – like helping around camp is not really that important because it's such a short season? Or did you view that as like a really important thing?
No, I think it's just not shown. Like, I think now with what they're trying to show, they're showing a lot more of like challenges and journeys and like not a lot of camp life. And I would say that is completely false. Like, it was very known, like who did stuff at camp and who didn't. Like even back on the old Hina, like I know you guys barely saw any of us, but like we were workhorses. Like we never stopped working and you couldn't. If you did, then you knew you were going to be the one on the chopping block. So I just think it's not shown, to be honest.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. It's interesting because it's like, I don't watch Big Brother as much as I watch Survivor, but one thing I've noticed in Big Brother is like they never show like who's the have not anymore. They never show them getting their slot. Like they never show that anymore. Yeah. And I find that interesting, but it's still a part of the game. And I think that's very similar to like camp life stuff. Like they used to show like people getting mad at other people or people complaining about not working at camp. Mm-hmm. And you're at camp more than you're not, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. There were times where like me and Steven would be like, we're not doing anything for anybody. Like they can, and it becomes a part of how you perceive people. So it's still a huge part of the game. It's just not shown.
That's so interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. We have one more question. Another one from Aaron. Aaron said, and this one's a hard one for me. Does Ceri go on the Mount Rushmore of players if she wins?
Okay.
I don't know.
Can Mount Rushmore have five heads?
I know. Can Mount Rushmore. Like who do we take off? Like
take off.
I don't
take off Parv. You don't touch her.
I really don't think that you can take off the first person to ever win twice.
Yeah.
I don't think you can take off Sandra. Like I people are gonna hate me for this. I feel like the person you take off if you take somebody off is Tony. Mm-hmm. But it's not like he's also a two-time winner. He's a legend. But like, can you take off Boston Rob?
No.
Like, who do you take off? But also, if she wins...
If she wins, she deserves a spot.
She definitely deserves a spot, but, like, what are we...
I think it has to be Sandra or Tony, and it's like, but they're legends, and they both won twice. Like, what...
Yeah, I really genuinely don't know.
I don't want to get destroyed, so I'm just going to say...
I mean, she has
to be five heads.
Here's the thing. Yeah, we're going to add a Mount Rushmore.
We're going to add...
You know what? Here's what we're going to change it to. It's no longer the Mount Rushmore of Survivor. It is the faces mm-hmm. on money. Because there's the $1 bill, the $5 mm-hmm. bill, the $10 bill, the $20 bill, the $50 bill, and the $100 bill. Now we get six.
So now we get six. Everybody. And now we get to add someone else.
You're welcome, everybody. So we get to add one more person.
Hashtag you're welcome.
Because you know what? Mount Rushmore itself is also not that impressive. It's carved into a beautiful mountain. It's teeny, teeny, tiny. The mountain itself is way better than Mount Rushmore.
Okay. This is on my 40 by 40 to go see it. So
still go see it. But when you see it, it is underwhelming. Okay. Let me tell you. but I'm just saying, you know what is more important to American life or to life in general? Money, mm-hmm. dollars. And you know,
dollars.
We're changing. That win, Suri win.
Win.
Manifest.
Manifesting words.
We can then
we're putting her have on six the 20. People. Yeah, we're putting her on the $20.
She's on the 20. Easy.
She's on the 20. Yep.
Easy. Okay. Well, Christina, is there anything about this episode that we hadn't talked about or anything about the next episode that you want to make sure we discuss before we get to the alley-oop?
Before we alley-oop this thing, man. Now I think we got it.
Okay.
We got it.
Amazing.
I'm really excited to see what's going to happen now. I think is when things are really about to get shaken up.
I'm really excited. I'm so excited for this episode.
Yep.
And we are about to talk about who we think set themselves up best. So for those who are new to the podcast, the Alley-oop Award is who we think set themselves up best for the next episode. Mm-hmm. Obviously it's can't choose the person who got voted out because they did not set themselves up. They probably set themselves up the worst. So Christina, I'll let you start. Mm-hmm. Who do you think is in a really good position going into episode 9?
So I've said it already, I think in this, but I'm kind of between Joe and Aubrey. I think Joe purposely set himself up. So I think he proactively did that by actually voting out the people that he was working with, albeit he didn't necessarily want to. And like you said, he had to go back and actually write Coach's name, but at least he did it. He came, he came clean with Tiffany. I do think he's in a really good spot. I think he set himself up well. I think Aubrey indirectly set herself up. I think she just has to kind of sit back and let Rick, just kind of do his thing and she could kind of die down into the, into the void. But let's go with Joe.
Okay.
On this one, since he proactively is setting himself up for the next.
I like that. I think that I'm going to go very mm-hmm. similar to you, but different. And I'm going to say, Ozzy. Sorry. I was like, what's his name? Ozzy. I think that we're seeing really good gameplay come out of Ozzy. And I'm really mm-hmm. impressed with him. And I really like how he is treating the people in his alliances. I really like how he is having these discussions. I really think that he has inroads with a lot of different people. I could see him going really mm-hmm. far and I could see him, getting the votes at the end. And I think that, but I think that for this episode coming up, I think that he's working with a good amount of people. And I think the people that he's working with trust him.
I don't think he's going to be a target at all.
I don't think he's going to be a target. Yeah. And I think that he is, I don't know. I just like the way he's playing. But it's a very similar, I think he proactively did some good stuff in that episode. And
this challenge coming up is...
Perfect Aussie.
It's Perfect Aussie, perfect Joe, Aussie. Jonathan. It's I know. Any guy with upper body.
Yeah. I hope here's hoping that some of the women also took a lesson from Charlie and was like grip strength.
It was like
but who knows?
I feel like women win the leg competitions, men win the upper body, typically. So we'll see. Maybe it'll prove me wrong this episode.
I think it'll be a fun episode. We'll setting himself up the best for this episode, Jeff Probst. Yes. Apparently he's playing Survivor now.
He is playing. He's in it. Maybe he has a chance to win $1 million. Maybe it's like no one wins. He takes the money.
I'm dead.
Oh, jokes, my God. Jokes.
Well, Christina, this was so much fun chatting about Survivor with you. Where can the people find you so they can keep up with you in your life? Is there anything else you want to plug here for you?
Yeah, just follow me at ChrisMills64. I'm on there on Instagram. That's my main space. And just also take care of your mental health. I have a next week on 429. That's National Fentanyl Awareness Day. So just like, you know, take care of your mental health. And if you know anyone that's struggling with addiction, just know that you're not alone and there's resources out there for you all. Just plug that a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for saying that. And it was genuinely such a joy to have you on. So much fun to talk Survivor with you. I just can't wait for the rest of this season.
I love it. Thank you, Tegwin. You're my favorite super fan. Hopefully no one comes at me after saying that.
Thank you.
We all love you so much. So it's always fun to talk with you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. Well, everybody, I hope that we've got an amazing week coming up with this episode. Obviously all of the typical specialist things. But next week I've got a really fun guest for Matt Chat. So I'm really excited about that. And I will see you all next time. Enjoy the rest of your week, everybody.
Bye. Yeah, have a good week, everyone. Bye.